What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Today on The Grave Talks, Spirit Encounters. A conversation with Jake Lanigan with Riverside Iowa Paranormal. Jake Lanigan is a gifted psychic medium with Riverside Iowa Paranormal. This incredible group consists of a diverse team of psychics, mediums, and healers who are dedicated to helping families in need, even in the darkest of cases. What's more, they offer their services completely free of charge, driven by a deep commitment to understanding the paranormal and providing relief to those who are struggling. Jake Lanigan isn't just a member of this remarkable team. He's someone who has been sensing and seeing spirits since childhood. His abilities allow him to communicate with spirits through sight and sound, bringing a unique perspective to paranormal investigations. Today on The Grave Talks, we'll talk with Jake Lanigan about what it's like to truly see spirits and how these experiences shape the investigations he's part of. Jake, thank you very much for taking the time to chat with me tonight. You are with Riverside Iowa Paranormal.
Correct.
Could you tell me a little bit about that group? Because it sounds like, do you have other kind of, I don't know what the word is, I want branches? Maybe?
Chapters.
Chapters. Yep. That's a much better word.
Yeah. So it originally started, I came a little bit later. If I remember right, the year it officially started was 2017, I believe. And the founder was Michelle Roos. And so Michelle, if you're listening and I got the date wrong, you can chastise me later, I guess. And it originally really was just her and another member of the team, Kelly, and they really started it. And then Kelly's husband got involved as the tech guy. He is what I call our tinkerer. He likes to tinker with things and build things and kind of take things apart and that sort of stuff. And then as the years have gone on, we've had some more people join. I came about in the summer of 2018 was when I officially joined the team. And then we actually have Michelle's daughter who lives in Indiana. And so she runs the Indiana chapter.
Oh, and that so makes
sense.
We have
events in Iowa, sometimes in Illinois, because where we're at, we're only about an hour from the Iowa-Illinois border. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we can do some things in Illinois. The Indiana chapter, they do stuff out in Indiana. I believe they are close and they're about 3 hours from Louisville, Kentucky. So things in that area, they kind of manage all of that sort of stuff. The Indiana chapter does.
Now, do you, with the Riverside Iowa Paranormal, do y'all, do more investigations of maybe well-known events, or are they more private investigations for people who are needing help, or kind of both?
It's both.
Okay.
Our focus has always been helping families in need. And since that's always been kind of our driving force, we never charge any family that asks for our services, whether that's a formal investigation, whether that's just doing a cleansing of their home, anything like that, we do free of charge. Every single member of the team, we all have our own day jobs. So we all do different things to pay the bills. So this really isn't about the money for us. We do events to raise money for when we're helping those families, whether that's to pay for gas to get there, whether that's to pay for a hotel room for a couple hours so that we can investigate throughout the night instead of needing to leave early so that we drive back. Sometimes we get calls to go places that are 3 hours away, and it's just we can't get a good investigation done if we're leaving at 10 o'clock at night.
Right.
So the money that comes from the ticket sales goes two places. It goes back to the building for maintenance and preservation of the historical locations. And then the other part goes to helping families, okay, paying for our gas to get over there. If we need to get a hotel room because it's a little further away, we might use the funds for that. So it's not going into anyone's pocket by any means. The vast majority of it actually does go back to the historical preservation. It seems like in a post-COVID world, we seem to do a little bit more of the events than we do the private investigations, but we do still get quite a few calls for private investigations as well.
I don't know what it is about Iowa, and I've said this a number of times on this show before. I find Iowa to be a very haunted state. My sister lives there. She owns a haunted building. And
She owns a haunted building.
And it just seems like there's so many locations in Iowa that are notoriously haunted. And
yeah.
I find it so interesting. Now, when you
equate Iowa as sort of like the Poltergeist movie. Throughout the Midwest, a lot of the Midwest is built on, as is a lot of the U.S. in general, is built on what was previously Native American land. Mm-hmm. And so we have a lot of places in the Midwest and around Iowa where there are actual burial mounds. So there's a place in Wisconsin, not far from Dubuque, Broadhead, which Broadhead Manor, we have an event coming up on September 14th. And we have a couple of special guests coming in to help us out with that from the East Coast. And in the town of Broadhead, there were 9 Native American burial grounds, a lot of which were disturbed so that a railroad could be built to go right through the town. And actually, at Broadhead Manor, on the corner of the property, there is still a burial ground. No one is allowed to go over there to investigate that part out of respect for what that land was used for as a burial place. But there is a Native American burial mound actually on the property of Broadhead Manor. And
wow,
that seems to be kind of a common theme in the Midwest and in Iowa for sure, where there's either was historically Native American burial ground or there currently is on the property.
Historically, you know, people moved into these Native American lands, pushed them out with no regard to what they found as sacred grounds, even. Not even
right,
just burial grounds. You know, there's a lot of
right,
sacred areas that I feel like historically were destroyed way back when because they didn't care. They just wanted the land and more land and more land, and these poor people just kept getting pushed further and further back still to this day. That's a whole nother type of podcast. But
right,
I just feel like so much was taken from them. And I find it sad when you read back on what's happened. But
it is.
With
it
you is. And going into private homes, that has mm-hmm, to be a difficult thing to do for a few reasons. You know, for example, maybe the Villisca Axe murder house.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard, you know, its reputation is going to precede it. You know, and they're
oh, absolutely,
Broadhead. you know, there's a lot of different locations that you know a little bit about. But when you're going into a private home, you only know what they're telling you.
Exactly.
And so I would imagine there's some research that you do that would go into it that might help you discover something. But I would find that to be almost more nerve-wracking than going into a notoriously haunted location. Does it kind of depend?
It does. My apprehension when we do private investigations really comes from I don't want to exacerbate things. If a family really is genuinely very scared, I have to be careful because I don't want anything that the team has to say. I don't want that to make things worse for them. I don't want that to elevate their fear even further.
Right.
Because again, sometimes when you have what we call dark entities, whether they're inhuman, human spirits, regardless, these dark energies, a lot of them really do feed on negative emotions like anger, fear, things of that nature. And so if that is something that is a concern, I certainly don't want to make that worse for the family. What I have to keep in mind every time I go into a private investigation is my job there is to find answers, good, bad, or ugly. My primary focus is to find answers for the family, because we always get these calls from people where they're like, I swear I'm not crazy. And
but you do feel crazy when you live in an environment like that.
Absolutely you do. Especially people, we get a lot of calls from people that say, I was never a believer, but I'm to the point now where I can't explain what's happening, and now my family is scared. I don't know what to do. And so my first gut reaction is always to say, you're not crazy. We are here to help you find those answers. And it may not be a one-time thing. It might be a place where we have to go back multiple times, just because it might be like an onion. There's different layers. True. And each time we go, we find a new layer until ultimately we can get the family to a place where they're comfortable. If we need to do a cleansing, we can do a cleansing, those kinds of things. But privates are always kind of an ongoing checking back and forth with the owners of private places just to make sure they don't need us to come out again, which there have been places we have gone back to multiple times just to help the family get more answers or to help them feel at ease. That so privates are a little bit tougher just because you really are, you're dealing with people and you're dealing with people's emotions, and so you never want to make people feel like they're not experiencing something, but we want to be able to give them that peace of mind that yes, you're experiencing something, it's just maybe not necessarily what you think you're experiencing.
That's true. And sometimes I would imagine you can go in and there might be an explanation for something that you can share with them. But without giving away any sensitive information, can you share about a private investigation that you've done that you really did feel like they were dealing with something?
Yes, there was. It was a private. It's been a few years, but there was a family. And we did this investigation, and we were doing this private, and we were in an upstairs part of the home, and we had a piece of equipment that essentially works very much like a ghost box, if you've ever heard or are familiar with how a ghost box or spirit box works. It was along that vein of technology, and the things that came through were, I don't want to say unsettling, but they were things that, you know, kind of gave me reason for pause, where I was like, what is happening here? And so there were actually three of us with psychic and mediumship abilities. And the three of us just happened to do this particular action where we were all holding hands. And all three of us saw the same things at the same time, but it was like we were watching it as a bystander. And it was from however many years back. But it was some things that there were some pretty prominent people in the community that were involved in. And it was all very kind of hush hush. And that happened to be right there on the property. And oftentimes we do run into, when there is really something going on with the family, especially if there are kids or teenagers involved, usually what we end up finding out is either the kids or the adults when they were younger were doing something with a Ouija board or some kind of the occult. And it's the same, it's usually the same story where they didn't really know what they were doing. They were just kind of messing around and didn't really know what they were getting themselves into. That was very much a case in this particular private where there was some scrying that was happening. And scrying is a form of divination using any reflective surface. Most often it's a mirror. And another form of scrying is crystal ball gazing. But this particular family member was using a mirror. And there's a lot of spiritual thought about what mirrors do. A lot of people view that in one way or another, they do serve as a portal. And so that was what was happening, was this person was messing with this portal without really having a grasp on what they were doing and the consequences of what they were doing. And so we were there, and actually all three of us were watching things come in and out of the mirror.
Oh.
And that's when we realized someone's been dabbling in with something that they weren't supposed to be. And I think it was for that reason that we had that experience where the three of us were all seeing the same thing at the same time, because that place was so wide open for anything and everything to come through that we were able to tap into things that maybe otherwise we wouldn't have been able to.
And what do you do with that information? Like, I do find it fascinating that all three of you had such a similar experience, which is amazing. It had to have been pretty amazing to be part of that. But now that you've got that information, how are you able to shut that down in some way, or give them advice on how they can?
Yes, we did end up speaking with that family to say, you know, hey, this is what's going on. You probably don't even know this is what's been happening upstairs, but this is something that's been going on upstairs. And usually that's when they very quickly realize that that's out of their depth and they ask us to take care of it. And sometimes there are things where the best thing we can do is, with the owner's permission, is to remove those objects from the home. And we do actually have a space that we take those objects, we bind them, we cleanse them, and then we store them. And in that space, I know there's a bunch of dolls. There's probably over 100, over 50 dolls that are bound. They're wrapped in salt, and they are locked behind or locked in various cases for that reason. If it's something that maybe we really can't close, or can't necessarily get rid of, sometimes the best thing to do is really to just remove it from the home. And so we've done that as well.
Haunted objects, that also is a whole nother episode. I think too, people need to really watch what they bring into their home. Because I think Sometimes you're bringing things in your house just because it's like, that is the coolest looking old thing. Whatever, it might be a little baby buggy. I don't know why anyone would do that, but I have seen them in homes. You don't know what could be attached to it.
Antique, people who buy antiques run into it a lot. It's funny because Michelle's son loves to go antiquing, and Michelle and I will not go into the antique stores. I mean, we will. We're still looking for a DR60 tape recorder from back in the day. So we're just hoping that one will turn up at an antique store. But there are times where we go into antique stores, we're there for all of 10 seconds, and we're like, nope, this is too much. We got to go.
just so much attachment, you know, and mirrors especially. Like, there is no way I would go into an antique store, even if it was the coolest mirror I've ever seen, go, I want to bring that to my house. No way.
I'm not a big antique person. I've done some antiquing, but again, I do a lot of things where I'll look at it and I'll go, you know, you look cool, but I'm not down with the angry old lady that's attached to you. So I'll leave you right here. And there have been places where antique stores where I've walked in, and a lot of them will have an upstairs and a downstairs. And I walk to the stairs to go upstairs, and there's an angry old woman standing up at the top of the stairs. And I'm like, yeah, see, I'm not prepared to deal with that. I'm just gonna hang out down here. And there have been times where I've been watching things, messing with Michelle. And as a reminder, Michelle is the founder of Riverside Iowa Paranormal. And I'll be watching things mess with her. Things will mess with her. And then finally she'll react. And she'll look at me and she goes, did you just do that? And I said, no, but it's been happening to you for the last 10 minutes. I've been wondering when you're going to start paying attention. We do that to each other. It's kind of funny. She'll go, took you long enough. So it's kind of an interesting dynamic between her and I.
When did you realize that you have a psychic medium ability? Because I would imagine you were pretty young, or, you know, I would think some things happened at least when you were young.
When I remember stuff actually happening was when I was about 10-ish, somewhere around there. And I remember when growing up, I never liked scary movies. My older brother used to wake me up in the middle of the night at our grandparents' house, and he would always pick the movie. And you would think after a while, someone would catch on that if your older sibling keeps picking the movie and you never like it, maybe stop letting them pick the movie. And it was always one of three or four movies. The Sixth Sense. I Know What You Did Last Summer. I Still Know What You Did Last Summer. And The Blair Witch Project. Those were the four I remember the most often being the ones he would choose. And I'm somewhere between the ages of 3 and 5 when all of this is happening. So scary movies scarred me as a kid. So I never wanted to watch them. I never wanted any part of them. And I remember I was probably 8 or 9. My brother came to me one day and said, hey, you should really watch this show. And it was the original Ghost Hunters with Taps. And I wasn't really sure because I didn't know how I felt about all of that. But I started watching it. And then I started branching out and watching a number of different other programs they had on at the time for that. And I remember there were some series that would have someone with abilities. And I remember thinking, how cool it would be to be someone like that. And then I very quickly realized when you're a kid, it's not so fun and cool anymore when it really starts happening to you. I remember the way my bedroom was set up is my bed was in the middle of the room. My closet would be behind me. And because I'm starting to get into becoming a teenager, I wanted to have my door shut a lot of the time. And I remember things would tug on the back of my shirt while I was sitting on the bed. My name would be called around the house. I would see shadow figures on the corners of my block. And I really didn't think much of it until it was happening so frequently that I really couldn't ignore it. And I remember having a dream one night. And in this dream, it was like a cornfield. I was in a cornfield, and it was a homestead. It was a farm. And I remember seeing this little girl come out of the front door. And it was a summer's day. It was probably 7, 8 o'clock in the morning, summer's day. And she was dressed in a white dress, white gown. And she had almost like a bonnet or some kind of something on her head. And I remember she kind of ran along some of the cornfields to a particular wooded area. And I recognized the wooded area as somewhere that was not far from my house. And all of a sudden, in this dream, I heard a blood-curdling scream. And then it was like time fast forward. fast forwarded, because I could see the sky change colors. It looked like the sun was kind of moving across the sky. And then all of a sudden, the father came out of the house and was looking for her for dinner time. And he knew she liked to play in these woods. So he went out there. That was the first place he went to go look for her. And he actually found her hanging from a tree.
Oh.
And that was when I woke up. And that's all I remember from the dream. And I didn't think much of it. I just thought it was a dream. Until one night, the little girl from my dream walked into my bedroom.
Mm-mm.
And I was like, what is happening? But then at the same time, I was also kind of like, you're here for a reason. What can I do for you? How can I help you? And
oh, that was quite mature of you. I think I would have ran out of there.
I didn't really have a choice, because I didn't feel like having to explain to my parents why I just flew out of
bed. I get that.
Like a bat out of hell.
Yeah.
And so I sucked it up. And as scared as I was, I said, is there something I can do for you? And she, I don't remember her answer, but I know she didn't go away right away. It was probably a day or two later. She was still there, and her dad walked in. And I recognized him from my dream as well. And I was like, okay. I was like, if this is happening, I was like, then I know who she is, and I know how she passed. I was like, what happened to you? And at the time, I wish I had never asked that question, because they don't always censor what information they give to you. And so it was like I was watching a home video play in my mind's eye, where this was at a time where plows were still being pulled by livestock.
Mm.
And he had a blade on the back, and he was looking over the side just to make sure everything was working okay. And he leaned out too far and fell, and the livestock kept going, and that blade sliced him up. And so as I was probably 12 at this point.
That's a lot for a 12-year-old.
Right. As a 12-year-old, you're kind of like, yeah, I really shouldn't have asked that question. And I was like, well, what can I do for you? I said, she's not telling me what I can do for her. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to help you. And he really just wanted to know what had happened to his daughter. He didn't know who did it. No one was ever found. And it was almost serendipitous, because right as he was telling me this, another guy walks in. And I'm like, now who are you? Because he was not someone I recognized from my dream. And he and the father knew each other. Keep in mind, I'm 12 years old, and all of a sudden these two dead men are having a screaming match in your bedroom.
Mm.
And I don't remember what the outcome was.
Like, when, if I may interrupt real quick, when you say they walked in, did they walk in like a person just walked in? Or when they walked in, could you tell this is different? Like, maybe they're kind of opaque, or, you know, you can't tell, kind of fuzzy.
I could tell it was different.
Okay.
I could tell it was different just because my bedroom was on the second story and they walked through one of my walls.
That would be, yeah, that's a giveaway.
When I see spirits, everyone that has abilities sees them differently.
Mm-hmm.
For example, some people like Michelle see them as real as we would see each other, but she sees them in the moment of their death.
Oh, that would be intense.
And so hers is a lot of times really graphic, the stuff that she sees. Mine is more like when back in the day when we actually used to use film and cameras, when the film was double exposed and you had kind of that image superimposed on another image, that's more how I see spirits. And so I could tell, because of how I was seeing them, I could tell that these weren't real people, aside from the fact that they walked through my bedroom wall. Like it was just some casual thing that they did. It was now looking back, it's almost a little comical that I was scared about people walking through my wall the way that they did. But they,
I'm old, and I would be scared if that happened to me tonight. I'm just telling you.
And I was at the time, but I think I've gotten to the point where it's happened to me so many more times since then. It's almost like I've been desensitized to it.
That makes sense.
But at the time, I was like, you just walked through my wall, and who are you?
And I'm 12, and that would be that kind of – being 12 is hard anyway. You question right. so many things about yourself at 12.
Right.
And then to be saying, did I just see that? Am I crazy? You would yeah. you would tell yourself all kind of 12-year-old explanations. And I've got to keep this a secret. I don't want to talk about it because I'm crazy and I don't want my parents to know this.
Right.
It's hard.
And I –
That's a lot and to deal with.
For a long time, I didn't tell anybody until things started happening while I was with other people. And I'd react to it. And people would be like, what is your problem? And for the longest time, I didn't say anything. And then a couple of really close friends of mine, I finally decided to take the risk. And they were like, what are you doing? Why do you keep doing these weird things? And I said, listen, I said, it's going to sound crazy. I said, but I just need you to go with it. And I consider myself lucky because they were really open to it. They thought it was really cool. And one of them, he was a friend of mine. We didn't really start getting close until after his father passed away. And I had known him since we were kids. His mom worked at the school. We were in scouts together as kids. So we lived in the same area. So I knew him. We just didn't really hang out a lot until after his father passed away. And I remember one day being at his house and his dad showed up in the living room. And I told him, I said, you know, I said, hey, your dad's here. And he said, right now? And I said, yeah, he's standing over there. And so we walked over and he's like, well, let's go talk to him. And I was like, did you really just say, let's go talk to your dead father? Like, is this a thing that we do now? And so I did, because I didn't know what else to do. And I remember telling him, he didn't really open up a lot about how his father passed away to me. And I just remember telling him, I go, yeah, it's like he keeps saying something about his heart. And he goes, well, he died of a heart attack. And he goes, but I told you that, didn't I? And I said, no, I said, we've never talked about how your dad passed. So that was kind of crazy for him, for me to be able to be like, yeah, he's like grabbing his chest and saying that his wow. chest hurt and he's complaining about his heart. And he's like, well, yeah, he died of a heart attack. So that was validation for me. But then I think it also, even though to my face, he seemed okay with it. And I truly believe he was, but I think it was, there's a difference between knowing about it and then having it happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was one thing for him to know, I see these people, they come and talk to me. And then another thing for me to be like, your dad is talking to me. That made it really personal.
And how old were you at that, and you and he at that time?
I would have been early teens.
See, 13, and that's 14. Into also to lose a parent at that time would be very difficult. So yep. then to have a friend tell you that. You know, he might have dealt with it differently at 25.
Absolutely.
You know, but once again, when you're young like that, that would be a lot to process, I would think.
Yeah.
But it could also be healing to some people.
To some people. And I think she sort of took that approach to it because it was one of those things. There is a sense of... what's the word I'm looking for? A sense of closure
mm-hmm.
to know that they're okay. Because I think anytime someone loses a loved one, there's always that worry in the back of our mind. Are they okay now that they've passed on? Did they end up going somewhere good? Are they stuck? You know, what's going on? And for me to be able to say, you know, he actually pops in quite a bit. He might not say much, but he's around more than you think.
See, that's how I've always felt about my own dad, that I feel like he's there. Kind of background, there when I need him. but he's just kind of watches over. And I think as a parent, you would want to make sure that your child grew up okay. And
yeah,
what is time? You know, where you got to go. And if you could do that and help protect your child, I think you would.
When it, the interesting thing was, especially because what his dad did as a job, his dad worked for a local crime scene department.
Wow.
So his dad, if I remember right, his dad did a lot of fingerprinting. So he was around and was exposed to a lot of, for lack of a better term, a lot of scary people.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a kid and you know that side of the world, I think you do always worry about that.
Oh, absolutely.
And it wasn't like, it wasn't like he was there all the time. I think he just happened to get to a point where I was like, okay, there's someone here that can let him know that I'm okay and that I pop in now and again. I think things will be okay now. And that was because I never saw his dad again after that. So I really do think it was just a one-time thing. Can you just let him know that I'm around and that I'm okay? And that happens a lot, actually, with loved ones, especially when they come to our events. A lot of them do ask. They're like, hey, is there anyone around me? Is there this? Is there that? And if there's not, I'm honest and say, you know, I'm not getting anything right now, but maybe later on throughout the night, someone might come through. But at this moment, I don't have anything for you. And then there are other times where I look at a person and I just look at them and I go, really? Did you have to bring your whole family? And they're like, what are you talking about? And I said, well, you've got two grandmas, you've got your uncle, you've got your grandfather on your dad's side. And they're just like, what? Really? And I'm like, yeah, can you like tell them to lay off? And a lot of times when I do see family members, they don't always say things. Sometimes they are just visible. And I always tell people, I go, hey, you have this person over your shoulder. This is what they're looking like. And if they can positively ID them, then they do. But that doesn't always happen. And there have been times where they're like, oh, yeah, that's my grandfather who passed away when I was 13. And they're like, is he here with me all the time? And I have to tell them, I go, you know, I don't know.
He's right now.
He's here now, but he's not saying anything to me. And I have come to realize if they're not saying anything to me, it's because all I'm supposed to say is that they check in. They just want you to know that they're here.
I love that idea.
There have been times where I've said that as I'm talking to someone. I said, hey, you know, they're not saying anything to me. So I take that to understand that they just want you to know that they're here. And then as soon as I say that, they nod and then they're gone.
That would be the weirdest thing. I'm fascinated by psychic mediums because I think it would be so weird and interesting to be in your brain for a day.
You say that now.
Or two. But just to experience what that would be like and could I handle it? I don't know that I could. I just think it would be interesting to, because you don't really have control over it, or maybe sometimes you can shut it down. I'm not sure. It would be hard.
Yeah. And speaking of shutting down, we always tell people, because we do have people that come to our events that say, hey, you know, I think there's someone in my house. This is ways they've made me feel uncomfortable, blah, blah, blah. And we tell them, we go, treat them like you do people, set boundaries. And believe it or not, they actually follow them. I've had to do things before where they've come to me at work and I've had to look at them and say, I cannot help you right now. I need you to go come back when I'm at home at like 6 o'clock tonight. Sometimes they do come back. Sometimes they don't. But I've noticed they actually do listen when you're saying, no, I'm not doing this right now. I need you to leave. I'm busy. I can't do anything for you this moment. they actually do leave me alone. And we've had that conversation with other people who don't have abilities, but things are happening in their home.
Mm-hmm, that makes sense. And that wraps up part one of our conversation with Jake Lanigan about spirit encounters. For more information about Riverside Iowa Paranormal, visit their website at riversideiowaparanormal.org or find them on Facebook. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, then become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free, or you can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.
It's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
What's up, Boos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hear that? That's the sound of your skin silently crying out for hydration. Luckily, Dr. Teals has just the thing to get you glowing in no time. Meet Dr. Teal's Skin Renewal Deep Hydration, made with a proprietary triple magnesium complex plus skincare actives for 50% improved skin hydration after just one bath. The words dry and dehydrated are about to be wiped from your vocabulary. Find Dr. Teals, all dressed in blue, in your local bath aisle. Dr. Teals. Yep, you needed that.